Oh, this shit right here, baby, gonna get in my motherfucking zone.
Can you feel the beat within my heart? Can't you see my love shine through the dark? Can't you see that you must be a part?
Yeah, I got 99 problems, but a bitch could never be one. Stressing by hoes, that'd never be fun. Break a bitch heart, then step on each one. Better tell Ice Spice, I could never be a munch. Talking my shit till my enemies come. Circling the block, I could never be spun. I done did shit you ain't never seen done. Now I'm laying on the bread, I'm a sesame bun. I got loose change, I'm a bad motherfucker like Bruce Wayne. In the Mustang, new year, new me, this a new name. Put my new son name on a new chain. Made new money, now want new things. Everybody looking at me like you changed. Bitch, I'm coming for the top of the food chain. Whoever told you they ain't listen to me, really told a lot of y'all. I'm coming to get the shit that I need. If you think you got it all, if I don't win a Grammy, at least I'ma get the popping off and hit the red carpet and creep with a fucking monitor. Blow that motherfucker to pieces and make a monologue. It wanted to make it tougher for me, but as long as I'm a ball, put these rap niggas asleep. I don't need a Tylenol, fuck the world. I got a reason to take the condom off. Shit is deeper than deep seas, and I'm even deeper than the sea. Creatures that breathe heat, that'll freeze beaches, and you couldn't see me even in dreams with a psychic medium and couldn't read me if they was teaching encyclopedias in HD. If I leave, it'll make it easier. I'm not a human, I'm half demon, an ET, and my DNA is a cheat sheet with a key ingredient in the cream bleach, and I eat beef. So motherfucker, I'm ill. Motherfucker, I'm ill. Motherfucker, I'm ill. Motherfucker, I'm ill. Yeah. Look, I got a...
Shit, I'm back once again. It's your boy, this your motherfucking boy, King Known Uncensored. All right, man, we got a new episode, Drake versus Everybody. Man, shit, I mean, we might as well do that shit, huh? This looks like we got to the main event. Y'all been patiently waiting, just like an AIDS test. What's the result? Not pot. Yeah, nigga, we stopped midway. We going straight to it. Like, I know, man, the last couple shows, we build up to it, but not today, buddy. Not to fucking day. So, listening to We Don't Love You, we caught another diss on the album, but this time it's Future going at Drake now. I mean, we all knew that the origins. I explained the origins of how this split happened. Joe Budden hinted at this. It's just like a lot of these people in the industry fake a lot of relationships to make money. And I happen to agree with that. A lot of these dudes ain't really friends. And I feel like Drake and Future, you know, I think Drake used Future. You know what I'm saying? Because he wasn't getting the love from the streets. And Future, you know, who has a strong street audience, Drake sought him out and decided to do an album with him and Metro and all those other producers. Now, you know, and then Drake has won Grammys off this nigga. You know, he won a Grammy with Future, I think at the last ceremony, if I'm not mistaken. Or was Grammy nominated, I should say. I mean, I think they won. I think they won for Wait For You. That's what I thought. But, so on the album, on the intro, basically, the title track, which was my least favorite on the album, but now that I saw the lyrics, I like it a little bit more than I, you know, initially did. So we're going to look at some lyrics, and you determine if he was dissing Drake. So, you a nigga number one fan, dog. Sneak dissing. I don't understand, dog. Pillow talking, acting like a fed, dog. I don't even, another fake friend, dog. Can't be about no hoe, cause we sharing, dog. In your feelings, nigga, why you playing, dog? Now, okay. So, basically, there's this Instagram chick or something like that that Drake was fucking with, and then Future started fucking her. This is what this is all about. A bitch. Really? Drake, don't tell me y'all let a bitch come between possible money with you in Future. Like, come on, y'all got great collabs though. Y'all got motherfucking y'all got an album's worth of collabs. Y'all got a album together. Don't tell me y'all let the pussy come in between y'all. Don't say that. Because it said, you know, he's the usage of dog. Y'all know it's Drake for all the dogs. In Your Feelings, that's the name of his songs. In Your Feelings, nigga, why you playing, dog? And then he's continue. Give her back shots while she laying down. Right? Keep the Glock cock. I don't trust hoes. Top shotter going for the gusto like a real dog. Got a mutt hole. 9-figure nigga tag a toe. Damn. So that's what I mean, right? Like, this, some people may say it's subliminal, but I feel like this is direct. And it's not just Future that has turned on Drake. It is many rappers that have unfollowed him over the last few days and decided to pick a side. Rick Ross has unfollowed Drake. I don't know where this is coming from. I mean, Ross was a guest on Future's album. And then, you know, he, you know, Nav, the rapper, unfollowed him. Nobody cares about that. But still, I don't know what's up with Rosé, man, because they've had some legendary collaborations as well. Then on top of that, you know, Drake responded kind of to Kendrick, you know, talking about there isn't anybody that can fuck with me. Cute. Like, this your response, my nigga? You know, he got heckled by a fan. You know, they were saying that, yeah, Kendrick Lamar is better. I mean, everybody knows that, unless they're an obsessive Drake fan, that Kendrick better than him. But you know, everybody is looking and pointing the finger at Drake right now. Like, he needs to respond immediately. Like, many fans suggest that he should respond quickly. And that leads me to my next question. Should Drake and J. Cole respond to Kendrick within a week? Or, like, within the next couple of days? Or within a few months? You know, because according to Aiden Ross, you know, he's another guy, a podcast guy or whatever the case may be, internet blogger and stuff. He said he spoke to J. Cole, and Cole says that he doesn't care, allegedly, and isn't interested in the Kendrick Lamar diss. Well, I think that J. Cole is, you know, it's like, oh, damn, he caught me. J. Cole act like a nigga that got caught, because he's been subliminally dissing Kendrick Lamar a lot. And then when he responds to you, because Kendrick, you know, I didn't know where it was coming from, but then I was just like, oh yeah, he did say steppers and this, that, and the third. If you a stepper, you know what I mean? He did take little shots, and Kendrick is responding to them, you know, in first person shooter and all that. But me personally, I think Drake should respond, but I think Drake should write it himself. I don't think Drake should get the writers this time. I don't think any of Drake's ghostwriters got anything for Kendrick. I think that Drake should go ahead, sit in the booth for a couple of days, write this shit down, map it out, and then go in. J. Cole can do it, can write a diss song whenever he wants. Because because the main and lead target is Drake. You know, Drake's way of doing things is he likes to respond, but he'll do it on another nigga record. And that record will go number one because he dissing Kendrick or whoever the fuck he's dissing at the time, or subliminally dissing. Because, you know, you remember when Drake and Tory Lanez was going at it, Drake and Meek Mill was going at it. So we want that type of energy from Drake. Cole can compete with Kendrick. I don't think he could beat Kendrick, pause, but I think that Cole and Kendrick will be a very close match. So this video of Keith Murray, right? It resurfaced, and it's this woman just recording him and basically embarrassing him. And you could tell that Keith Murray is not 100% in his state of mind. You could tell he's some sort of inebriated. We know that Keith Murray had a drinking problem. Or whatever demons, you know. We know that Keith Murray had demons. Let's just say that. We know Keith Murray had demons. So this woman is recording him. She talking about seeing some, and Keith Murray doesn't want to be filmed, and this lady is trying to humiliate him. And I didn't like that, because, you know, Keith Murray's one of our legends. I think Keith Murray could argue for top 100 rappers of all time. Like, Keith was just that nice, especially in his prime. You know, you could argue Keith Murray for top 100 rappers. I think he's just outside it myself, because I feel like during the prime of his career, he kind of messed it up by going to jail during the prime of his career. But Keith Murray came out and said that it's an old video and he is in good spirits and he's healing. So,
Jello Beats, holla at me.
So that's good to hear that Keith Murray is healing from that situation, because it's just like, damn, like, why is this lady doing this? She's talking about, oh, he's cool. Oh, he's cool. Yeah, I didn't like that shit at all, yo. Straight up, I didn't like that lady humiliating Keith Murray like that. It was something. Oh, yeah. So the feds raid Diddy's house and houses in LA, Miami, and New York. Now, you can recall this multiple interviews of people saying that Puff likes to record himself doing some of these things that he's been accused of. Could the feds, you know, find anything on Puff? Could they possibly recover one of those tapes? Because the feds is on his ass. Like, it's many people that are trying to take Diddy out of the game due to multiple accusations of him of sexual harassment, holding people against their will, abusing women, abusing males too. You know, Puff has had accusations the last year and a half. Like, Diddy is in a lot of trouble. if they recover anything, Puff's going down. Like, they are applying God-level pressure on Sean Combs. And do I believe that he did some of that shit? Hell yeah, I do. You don't get accused by hundreds of people and it not be true. It's another Bill Cosby situation. But my thing is, nobody's applying pressure to Dan Schneider. Nobody's applying pressure to those dudes from that that Nickelodeon documentary. I think if you want to get the black man, get the people of all other colors too. Because they all done some devious, devilish industry shit, basically. I feel like everybody should be got. Period, point blank. Y'all gonna lock R. Kelly up 30 years? Get all these motherfuckers the fuck out of here. Get all the Harvey Weinsteins and all these other motherfuckers the fuck up out of here. But Diddy is fucked. Just bottom line. Let's talk some NBA basketball. Oh boy. The Lakers. I'm just like this, man, when it comes down to the Lakers. If you're going to cheat for a team, don't make it look obvious. We've discussed this on a lot of shows, and I've gotten called a hater for reading facts. Because last night, the Indiana Pacers lost to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers were up as many as 20 points on this team last night. But the thing we need to look at is points in the paint, you know what I'm saying, and free throws attempted, and you see why there's an outrage. You see why people are upset. Kind of understand why people are outraged about this, because the Indiana Pacers shot how many free throws? The Pacers shot 16 free throws the whole game. Meanwhile, the Los Angeles Lakers shot 43 free throws. Now that's a goddamn shame. They really out of bounds for this. Like, seriously. Look at points in the paint. Let me see if I can find it on here, because I know it's a way. Okay, there we go. Damn, it won't show it. Of course, I know why. Sorry, I'm taking so long, y'all. I'm trying to find... Oh, there's the team stats. That's what it is. I'm trying to find it. Points in the paint. Pacers 68, Lakers 70. So they've been in the paint as much as the Lakers, but they're not getting the same calls. See, this is why I don't like the NBA as much as I used to, because they're obviously cheating. Like, I understand the 0-2 Lakers did the same thing. I get it. But for LeBron James, they'll do anything. That's why I worry about a Minnesota Timberwolves team. That's why I worry about a OKC Thunder team, that they might play these guys and won't get a legitimate and fair chance of beating the Lakers, because they won't get the same calls. That's why I say, in order to beat the rigged You gotta shoot threes. You gotta shoot threes. You gotta make threes. And be able to finish at the basket. Because no matter how you finish at the basket, you know what I'm saying, you're never going to get the call that you deserve. But this shit is just sad, y'all. I just don't like how they blatantly cheated. So, did y'all see that fight between Chris Dunn and Jabari Smith Jr.? Hey, that was a good one. I like it, man. Competitive spirit. That was something that I enjoy. You know, Chris Dunn's a vet in this league. And Jabari Smith is the young boy. You know what I'm saying? That was a good little fight. You know, Jabari Smith was suspended a game. Chris Dunn, two games. And speaking of games, speaking of the Rockets, the Rockets are on a winning streak. I mean, that's due to the play of Jalen Green. Jalen Green has been balling out of control, man. He, like I said, ever since he started getting coochie, man. Rockets have won 9 out of their last 10 and won their last 8 games. And they are a game behind Golden State for the 10th and final play-in spot. Golden State has lost 6 out of their last 10 games. They need to stop playing and secure these victories because they're losing a lot of games. They're losing a lot of big leads. They've probably lost the most leads this season because teams have come back from, you know, down, 15 points to beat them. Including the last game that they played. Even though Draymond Green is talking about, oh, well, I don't give a damn about the Houston Rockets. I don't give a damn about the Houston Rockets, y'all. This podcast great. Like, I don't care about the Rockets like that. You know, I just want to go out there and just punch niggas in the fucking face. Like, I don't give a damn about the Rockets. I'm just like, you better give a damn about the Rockets. Like, they hot right now, and y'all lost y'all last 2 games on some bullshit. Tomorrow's not promised. The Rockets are on you. So y'all got to handle y'all business and win the games that y'all supposed to win and get to it. That's all I'm saying. All right. Let's talk Jonte Porter, man. Wow. We got another Calvin Ridley out this bitch. I mean, this motherfucker right here took betting on yourself a little bit too far. So, this is according to the man, the myth, the legend, Adrian Wojnarowski, so you know it's real. So, Toronto Raptors center Jonte Porter is the subject of an NBA investigation into irregularities on prop betting involving himself. Wow. You took bet on yourself a little bit too seriously. At least one other U.S. sportsbook detected unusual betting interest on Porter props in games in question. Sportsbook industry source told ESPN that multiple betting accounts attempted to bet large amounts, upwards of $10,000 and $20,000, and so on. Betting limits on NBA player props vary by sportsbook and customer, but are typically around $1,000 to $2,000. People were trying to do whatever they could to bet Jonte Porter props against the Clippers. And then, just a few days ago, the same thing we had. Wow. Man, this guy is dumb. I understand that you may not be getting paid what you're getting paid. Jonte Porter, ain't that Michael Porter Jr.'s brother? Ain't that his brother? I think so. Let me double check that. Let me check that nigga Wikipedia. Yep. Yep, sure is his brother. Like, Michael Porter Jr. just got what? 150-something million? Why? And then, like I said, I could see if he was betting on Michael. But you betting on your motherfucking self? This nigga is dumb. Talk about, even though what we do is wrong. That shit is fucking ridiculous. And unbelievable. Yeah, I'm just in shock. All right, man. So, yesterday, you know, the Lakers won that game against Indiana, but Lakers say that LeBron James is doubtful to play Tuesday against the Bucks. Or, you know, and my thoughts on this is, this leads me to a different segment here. I'm tired of this shit. And it ain't just Bron that's doing this. It's everybody that's doing this. Especially Giannis. Giannis has done this a lot. And the shit is annoying. I hate when elite basketball players, elite basketball superstars, they sit out games against a competitive team. Like these superstars for these good-ass teams, right? They sit out games against a competitive opponent. Now, I'll say, for example, Luka Doncic sits out versus Sacramento Kings. Giannis Antetokounmpo sits out versus the Lakers. LeBron sits out versus the Clippers. Like, first off, the fans pay to come see you play. The fans come to see a very competitive game. And you're sitting out for what? LeBron, Giannis. Those are the two main guys that do this. Like, and it don't be really nothing wrong with these niggas. They could play. Now, I understand people do get hurt. I get it. But certain matchups, you just got to get up and play. I could see if Giannis was going against the Pistons. I could see if LeBron was going against the fucking Nets. But these motherfuckers come back against a Nets or a Pistons or a Raptors. Like, what part of the game is that? Like, I don't like when all-star, superstar players sit out against an opponent that could definitely beat them. What's up with that? Y'all don't want to look bad? Like, I just had to really just get that off my chest. Like, I don't be liking that shit. That just shows you right there that these niggas is just not fucking competitive. And they don't want to play for anything. They just want to make money and sit out whenever they feel like sitting out. Like, if you healthy and you can fucking play, then fucking play. I got a question, though. So, an update on the Diddy raid, right? So, why did he leave his sons on stuck? Damn, dog, you left your sons on stuck? Damn, Hammy. He left his kids on stuck because, you know, he took a flight. He got the fuck up out of there. Word on the street, that nigga got the fuck on. You left King Combs and Justin Combs, they got handcuffed. I just seen this come through my phone. I swear to God, pause, but whoa. Like, during the raid, they were just handcuffed. I'm like, damn, girl. I know Justin was on one of those little reports and shit. But you ain't had to handcuff King Combs, girl. That's crazy, bro. I'm just in disbelief at this point. Puffy is fucked. As if anything couldn't get worse for Puffy, Papa Diddy Pop, P. Diddy, Brother Love, Buddy has sold all of his shares in Revolt TV to an unknown buyer. That's crazy. Wow. I'm just floored at this point. So Puffy no longer is fucking with Revolt. So Revolt TV is handled by somebody else. Yeah, man. They're breaking this nigga down. You know in Monopoly, when you go bankrupt, and you gotta sell all your properties at the end of the game and shit. That's what the industry's trying to do to Puffy. This is a sad, sad, sad thing. We're witnessing the downfall of a legend. Is this, just like one of his songs say, is this the end? Damn. But however, I mean, if you're going to get Puffy up out of here, that's all I've been saying the whole show, and I'm going to continue to say it. You're going to get Puffy out of here. Get everybody else out of here. And y'all know what the fuck I'm talking about, too.
Jello Beats.
Kai Jones' 10-day contract with the Philadelphia 76ers has expired and he is now a free agent. Honestly, he didn't really get to play that much because he played a couple of games. He played a couple of G League games and got injured. So I don't know if he's recovered from that injury, but him becoming a free agent is no surprise. Hopefully he gets a real shot with somebody, man, that would sign him for the remainder of the season at least. Yeah, but shout out to Kai Jones. Let's see what else is going on in the news. The Minnesota Timberwolves are signing TJ Warren to a contract for the remainder of the season. He has finished two consecutive 10-day contract deals. And, man, let me tell you something, man. If TJ Warren's got a little bit left in the tank, bro, he could help Minnesota. You know, I did have a lot of criticisms about their bench. But here's the thing, though. They've upgraded their bench since that team has been together. We know Naz Reid was their de facto number one guy off the bench. But I wasn't sure about Alexander Walker. I wasn't sure about Kyle Anderson and what he still had left in the tank. I wasn't sure about Shake Milton at that particular time. Now they went and got Monte Morris. Then they signed TJ Warren. All right. So we got probably what, 10 games into the playoffs starts? Yeah, because they have played 72 games. So let's take a look at the playoff standings right now. As we get hella close. Let's look at the East. So we know that Boston's going to be the number one overall seed. That's a fact. They have, I believe, the best record in the league by far, and they're probably going to have home court throughout the entire playoffs. And this is what Boston wants. But a lot of people are not picking them to win the championship. It's a lot of disbelief. I'm like, they've been whooping ass the whole season, and they've, you know, they only lost 15 games, and they lost last night in a comeback thriller with the Hawks, but I don't think that's a good enough reason to just count them out, in my opinion. So, Milwaukee has clinched the playoffs. You know, they're number two right now, and they have a 2.5 game lead on Cleveland. So, I don't know. Maybe they're more than likely to be two, but it ain't never me to. But we got Cleveland at the third spot. They've clinched. Cleveland's the biggest mystery here because, you know, they lost last year as a group in disappointing fashion at the hands of the New York Knicks. And, you know, and I expect them to at least get out the first round. New York Knicks, this is a hyped team. You know, they've made the postseason. They clinched. They're fourth in the East. This is a team with a lot of hype. You got the three Villanova boys. You know, if you don't know, it's DiVincenzo, Hart, and Brunson. You got Bohan. You still got Alec. You got Alec Burks. We got possibly Julius Randle returning during the postseason. You have Miles McBride coming up. You got Isaiah Hartenstein. You got a good little team over there in New York. Then you got the Magic at fifth. They clinched the postseason. Hey, man. Paolo Banchero's got these guys on point. But it's not just Paolo. It's Orlando's depth that is so underrated that not enough people are really talking about. And honestly, if they play New York like they're supposed to, they got a chance. They got a shot. And upsetting the New York Knicks. They got the team. I mean, you stacked. You got Fultz. You got Suggs around Banchero. You have Wendell Carter Jr. You got both Wagners, Franz and Mo. You've got Caleb Houston, you've got Gary Harris, this, you got Joe Ingles. Like, this is a very, very underrated team. Don't be surprised if they go further than you expect. Indiana Pacers have clinched the postseason. They can still go to the, they can still play in the play-in, though. But they've clinched. But Indiana, you know, Tyrese Halliburton's been up and down since he's returned from injury. But the rest of the Pacers have picked it up, you know, from Nembhard to Turner to Nesmith. You know, they lost Benedict Mathurin. That's going to hurt them. But Obi Toppin and Nesmith have stepped up to fill that hole. Miami at the seventh spot. They are postseason bound. They have clinched.
at least a spot in the play-in. Philadelphia 76ers, even though they've been pretty bad since Embiid has been gone, there's no word on when Embiid's going to return. Hopefully he returns in the play-in or something, because that's what it's looking like Philly's going to play in. No pun intended. Then we are on the lookout for, I mean, Brooklyn has not been deemed out of the playoff hunt yet. But they are, what, 5.5 games out? Yeah, they're as good as dead. I don't see them making the playoffs. And if Brooklyn's not going to make the playoffs, Toronto for damn sure is not going to make the playoffs. They're on an 11-game losing streak. So we have to really focus on Chicago, who's at the 9 seed, and the Atlanta Hawks that are at the 10 seed as postseason guys. And I don't think Philly and Miami are going to fall to 9 and 10. They would have to have a God-level meltdown. I think both teams could at least go 500, the next team. If you're looking at it right now, you know, you got Chicago playing Atlanta. That'd be really good to see. And I think maybe Trae Young could possibly come back by the play-in, because I definitely believe that they could beat Chicago for sure. And then Miami and Philly, I think Miami's going to win that game, even with Embiid. So that would set up Boston. Oh, my God. Ooh, could it be like a Boston and Philadelphia series? Oh, man. If Embiid is at 50%, this could be a very interesting series. But I still think Boston's going to win. But damn, just thinking about the playoff possibilities. I mean, you got New York possibly versus Orlando. Ooh, that ain't the matchup you want, New York. You want Indiana. That's the team I would want. You got Milwaukee versus Miami. Oh, man. Oh, man. The kryptonite. You got Dame, who wanted to go to Miami, playing against Miami. I don't know. They're setting up the storyboards for this one. I could see that. That'd be ugly style. Cleveland and Indiana would be a good series, but I think Cleveland's going to make it out of there. That's just me. Let's look at the West. All right, so we got Denver at number one. You know, you kind of knew that Denver was going to restake their claim as king. You kind of knew that. It's not a shock. You got OKC. OKC at number two. They're surprising as far as I wouldn't expect them to be two, but I expected them to be five or six, though, for show. Minnesota Timberwolves have clinched. Denver, OKC, and Minnesota have clinched. Everybody else in the West have not clinched the playoff spot yet. Ooh-wee. So that's very interesting. Minnesota at three. I still think they're going to slide down to like that five or six spot. It's no hatred in my heart. I'm just saying, just in general. New Orleans, been the quiet riot. You know, Cam and Mace alluded to that on their show today. Nobody's talking about New Orleans. I mean, New Orleans is a good team. But Brandon Ingram, you know what I mean? He's hurt, but he's going to come back by the playoffs. So that's a good sign. They definitely need B.I. and Zion to be all-star level in order to compete with the team that they possibly might play at the 5 seed, which is the Clippers, that has been up and down since Russell Westbrook's been out of the lineup. Now he's back. The Clippers got to get their shit together, because if they don't, they might as well break up the George and Kawhi thing. I've been saying that they should break up the George and Kawhi thing. It hasn't worked. They have not been successful in the postseason. They've only went to the conference finals, which is what they're technically really supposed to do. And Kawhi wasn't even there. Sacramento is tied with Dallas as the sixth seed, even though Sacramento owns the tiebreaker at 42-29. Sacramento is unpredictable. We don't know what they're going to do because, you know, if they face Minnesota, these are two teams that have never went anywhere outside the first round. So that type of series is very tough to predict about who's going to be the top dog. You got the Dallas Mavericks as the seventh seed. If they get OKC, OKC is in trouble. Hate to be that guy, but Dallas has what OKC has. They can match up really well. You mean you got two superstars in Luka and Kyrie. You got Shea, potential all-star in Chet, potential maybe all-star reserve in Jalen Williams. You got Josh Giddey, who's had an up-and-down season but bounced back. Then you got Phoenix. Oh, boy. Ooh, Phoenix and Denver would be a hell of a series, but you already know Denver's going to probably take that. Pause. Los Angeles Lakers as the 9 seed, underachievers. Golden State, same thing, 10 seed, underachievers. But look who's less than a half game back of Golden State. It's the Houston Rockets, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what Golden State needs right now, but they need to win. They need to win out in order to secure their playoff spot because no spot is secure at this point in the West. We don't know who's going to play who in the West. We don't know who's going to go on a winning streak to end the season or nothing. Because we know Utah is shit dead in the water. Houston is the only one that can overtake Golden State. Draymond talk about, we not worried about them. We're not worried about them. Podcast. You better worry about them. Draymond and Paul George focus so much on their goddamn podcast shit. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't no ball player. My focus is my podcast. This is all I got, nigga. I ain't got no jump shot. Y'all the ones that's getting the big bucks, the hundreds of millions of dollars to play ball. Yes, it's cool to have a hobby. It's cool to do a podcast, but nigga, the postseason's coming. Pause. But all right, y'all, that was my show. I just wanted to get into that, to the standings. This is King Known Uncensored. Drake versus everybody, and I'm gone.